Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
The Big 12 Championship is underway. Welcome to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk breaking down all today's action. We talked about Ohio State and Northwestern. We're going to give our picks. I mean, when you look at this matchup, Clayton Thorson and the crew are going to need to step up. Clayton Thorson's completed 60% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, Rich. They're going to need to run the football a little bit in this matchup. Bowser has come on in recent weeks, but this is still an offense averaging 114 per game. I think they could do it enough and keep it within the number. In the end, I think the Buckeyes win a very close ball game.
And I said it earlier. The issue for me is, which Ohio State shows up. I honestly don't know. I mean, we know the capability is there. We saw it last week against Michigan. To tattoo them for 62 points is just unheard of. Now, we also talked that Fitz is going to have a very different defense. Not going to be man-to-man the way Don Brown did last week. It's going to be a zone defense. So can Dwayne Haskins pick apart that defense in a zone type situation? I'm going to take Ohio State. I think they finally turned the corner last week. Northwestern will hold tough for a while. I could see Ohio State pulling away in the second half.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I mean,
I'm going. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I feel like Northwestern, they make you play a certain kind of game.
Love it.
They make you put the gloves on. They make you get in there, and you got to work the body, and see if you can knock them out later. There's going to be a little bit of letdown. Like that Michigan win was so huge, so big for them to not just beat but dominate a Michigan team that was favored heavily. And I just think the young quarterback struggles against throwing the ball in windows with the anticipatory throws that you got to make against zone. He's going to struggle. This is going to be a close game. I like Northwestern, I think under as well.
Yeah, well, Gabe, I want to ask you this. Ohio State in this matchup the last couple of years, they dominated Wisconsin 59-0. They dominated last year as a 6.5-point underdog against Wisconsin. And when I say dominated, I mean they stepped up and won that matchup 27-21. As an underdog.
The underdogs have barked and bitten in Big Ten.
Rough.
Big Ten
now
title games.
The favorite, though.
6-1 against the spread. 6-1 against the spread. The underdogs. You know, it's very reminiscent of the Cowboy and the Saint game. And I think Marshall brought that up the other day in a sense of what Northwestern wants to accomplish. I'm a Michigan fan, so it pains me to say this, but I think that the team speed of Ohio State is just going to be too much. I think that we overanalyze these things. And yes, Ohio State, they lost by 29 to Purdue. There's still an Ohio State team that's 11-1 on the season. Still an Ohio State team that scores 43.3 points per football game. Yeah, they give up 25 points per game, but is Northwestern really going to be able to exploit Ohio State's defense? I'm not so sure. I mean, Northwestern scored 23 points a game, guys. That's not a lot in today's college. You know, real college teams score 23 points in a freaking half. You know, so... Yes, if everything goes according to plan and Northwestern plays great and this Clayton Thorson stuff to the NFL needs to settle down a little bit. I mean, really, Marsh, is this kid going to be playing in the NFL? No. I mean, let's be real, right? Mm. Clayton Thorson this, Clayton Thorson that. All right, come on,
Simeon
guys.
Simeon played.
Thorson is marginal. I think he's marginal. He's immobile. That's
and Trevor Siemian can throw the ball better. Siemian sort of can throw the ball better.
You almost can't be immobile coming into the NFL anymore. That's like unheard of.
It's a non-starter. Yeah. Look at Eli Manning now. And
it's just like...
I just think the team speed's too much here. And I think the demise of Ohio State is a little bit overly exaggerated. because really nothing else matters right now. They, you know, they're playing for either a trip to the playoffs or a trip to the Rose Bowl against Washington, which isn't a bad thing. Yeah, one thing for betting purposes, guys, this is sort of like you know, in soccer in the World Cup, you know, Group A, they need to know if this team draws, we need this, we need to score more goals. Long story short here, I think it's my bookie. Long story short here, where I'm going with this is they're going to know a lot more after the Oklahoma and Georgia games.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wonder if the Oklahoma-Texas game really matters as much as people are saying. Because, you know, if Texas pulls the upset, well, Ohio State still has to win. So there's ample motivation to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But if Oklahoma wins and it's a relatively close game, they don't know what the committee's going to do.
No, so but if Oklahoma wins a relatively close game, that opens up the door for Ohio State to say, you know what? We go out here, we win 51-0. We're in.
Even if Oklahoma rolls over Texas, I think Ohio State's going into tonight's game thinking, you know, if we take care of business, we think our resume stacks up against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't think they're making any assumptions.
What happens, though, and I brought this up.
No, and no assumptions can be made either.
Right.
But what happens if, here's an assumption, though.
Georgia?
No. If Texas knocks off Oklahoma.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Alabama beats Georgia.
Yeah, I'm writing this down.
UCF loses and Ohio State loses. Who's
Now you're getting.
I don't.
Michigan. Michigan.
Let's say this.
You can't say you can't. I mean, we're talking about Alabama's a 13-point favorite.
That's some real chaos, Joe. I like your style, though, the scenario. Yeah.
Northwestern, we believe, will be in the game to a degree. UCF's playing.
Well,
the game
I'm not
your starting.
Joe, I'm not even kidding. You know who next man up is? It is Michigan. It ranked number 7.
But I totally understand. But that's Armageddon, guys. I mean, you're talking about a Michigan team that gave up 62 points to Ohio State.
But Georgia.
I just can't see if Georgia. I don't know what I'm saying. If Georgia loses. Does the loss to Alabama knock you out of the playoffs? Is the question.
I don't think so. LSU, though.
I hear you. I know. I got you. But a lot. I thought LSU's loss to Alabama would knock them further down, and it did not.
They kept them at 7.
I was like, wow. Wow. 7. Yeah,
7.
A loss. Georgia's loss. If they lose to Alabama, I don't think it'll knock them out of the playoffs. I mean.
But it's going to be an intriguing argument because now you open up a can of worms with a couple of 2-loss teams where, depending upon how much, if it happens, I mean, it's a doomsday scenario. But it's something to think about. It can't be, we're talking about Texas knocked off Oklahoma. It's happened. You know,
Georgia's not beating Alabama today.
It could happen. I mean, you can't say it can't.
I could meet Shakira and hook up with her on the street when I leave here.
No, that's definitely. Can I bet on that?
That's what I'm saying.
Guys, does Pat Fitzgerald? Can he get these guys? I keep thinking about that. Can he sell his team on the fact that Ohio State is overlooking them? Like they're riding high after their big win versus Michigan.
I think he could sell that.
We're not fast enough. we don't have 5-star athletes. Like
I don't know if they have 2-star athletes.
Can we go out here and compete with this juggernaut? You know, this is Urban maybe riding off, you know, and into the sunset. Like we're not even supposed to be here.
30 of their last 31 meetings with Ohio State.
And here's the thing. I go back to that game a couple of years ago where they weren't as good as they were this year or last year in terms of the front 7. I mean, they rolled off 8 straight games last year. That front 7 was a dominant front 7 in terms of holding opposing offenses against the run. They held Ohio State to 24 points in their house with a team that was less talented than
this game scares me. It just bothers me because of Ohio State and it's not normally I roll with Ohio State because of what they do on defense.
Lineage.
Offensively, it's always been kind of skittish,
hit or miss,
the passing game. But they're going to run the football, and Urban's going to come up with some plays that's going to put the ball in their fast guys' hands to maybe outflank the defense and take advantage of some plays similar to what he did to Michigan. But their defense. You just can't hang your hat on Ohio State's defense.
They do have the 5-stars, as you're talking about, right? So the talent's there. can they reach them? You're talking about Northwestern. What's Ohio State staff? I mean, obviously, they're not getting the most out of the
Greg
talent
Schiano,
on the
right?
defensive.
Isn't it Schiano?
Yes, it is Greg Schiano.
He has to really be on point in this game because the Michigan game, the first half of that game before it got away from Michigan, it was a competitive game.
Yeah, people forget Michigan put 39 points up on the board in this game.
Oh, I don't think anybody's arguing whether Northwestern could, put up points. I think they can move the football.
I don't think they can, Joe, enough. I just don't think they have the speed to keep up.
That's going
to
be enough.
I just think the speed's going to be the difference.
You mitigate offensive speed when you play zone.
Yeah,
when you watch the quarterback
and make him think, as you stated, make Haskins think.
Right.
You show him this, you show him one thing, and you play something else.
And
if they can stop the run with their front seven, and they don't have to compromise and bring a guy in the box, this game is going to get
interesting. Sorry, Joe. I was going to say, isn't this one of these games though? Northwestern's battling; they're in the trenches. Boom! Punt return, Ohio State.
Right.
I just think there's going to be a kid here, a kid there that's going to make more plays, and it'll add up. Point spread's getting out of control.
It has to.
I mean, when it was 13.5, 14, it's one thing. We're talking about 16s now. It might get to 17 here.
Could. And if you watch the Ohio State, I'll just say this to Marshall's point about playing zone. Ohio State hit a number of big plays on short crossing patterns in man-to-man coverage, and that's where Paris Campbell broke out. He had 2 touchdowns in that game because he was running free across the middle of the field.
I was so disappointed in Michigan's inability to adjust, Marshall.
They didn't adjust either.
Not only did they not adjust, they refused to adjust.
Yeah.
This is what we do. We play man. They have their man beaters up.
And Marshall, I always talk about coaches need to put the players in a position to succeed, right? Talent, you look at the NFL, talent's the same everywhere. Bad teams arguably have more talent. The kids from Michigan, they weren't overwhelmed by the moment. Remember, there was the fumble late in the first half? I saw Patterson on the sideline. He wasn't nervous. He was talking to the kids. Everyone was calm. It's almost like the coaching staff put the players in a bad position and did them a disservice last week.
Guys, the track meet has started. Texas scored already.
Boom! Hook 'em, baby.
Track me. So I think it was like a 4 or 5 play drive.
Hang on. 4 seconds.
Now that's for Zach Smith.
4 seconds. In 4 seconds, we'll have another update.
Tyler Murray goes
over betters. Over betters. Hope so.
And it was Ellinger running it in. He ran over 2 guys.
I know it's crazy. On the play before, the
just like you talked about, he runs like a fullback.
He does. He will be, if they don't like, if he's okay with being the third quarterback, somebody is going to use him the same way you see Taysom Hill being used. Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it's a
Joel
wrinkle.
Lanning was a quarterback.
Iowa State, sure.
And wound up being a very good linebacker for the Cyclones and an emotional leader. If you could play special teams, and Ellinger seems to fit that type of mentality because he plays at a quarterback, he'll make an NFL roster. So can he will them to the victory?
Still has 2 more years also. Yeah,
so we'll see. And Bouchel's gone after this year. So
I would think so.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that game plays out. 2 other games we're going to get to. Mountain West Championship, Boise State.
Mountain West.
Fresno State. 2 good quarterbacks in Brett Rypien and Marcus McMarion. Yeah.
Do Boise and Fresno play every 2 weeks? Is this the deal?
But they have a history. Fresno blew that game a couple of weeks ago. They had a 17-3 lead on Boise on the road.
I was on Boise in that game. Lucky to get the win. I was lucky to win that bet.
There's a winner, Marshall. He's talking about a winner right now. So
I don't like to brag, Joe. I'm not like you.
He's downplaying it.
I brag like me. Here we go. Oh, my God. You guys are killing me. Patting myself on the back.
That'll be a good game.
I like Fresno here. I think they have the better front seven. They're putting up around 121 rushing yards per game.
No pressure, though, Joe.
But I like big
Jeffrey Allison fan. And listen, Jeff Tedford's done a remarkable job. Defensive staff. Great job. McMarion, terrific pickup from Oregon State. Allison will be all over the field. Allison versus Alexander Madison, the Boise State running back, great matchup. But they just don't get to the quarterback. What I like about Boise is despite the fact that they've lost players to injury at every level this year, top 10 nationally in sacks. Fresno doesn't have that. And at home, Rippon's final game, Madison running well, kind of got to go Boise State in this one.
I think the one thing when you look at the sack matchup, this is last year they struggled to generate sacks as well. But the offensive line for Fresno doesn't give up a whole lot of the sacks. And that's where I think it could neutralize.
Same situation last year. Did a great job in pass pro in 2017.
Short to intermediate passing game, Marshall, you know this, especially to neutralize a pass rush could be big, especially in terms of the screen game. I look for Rivers to be a factor in this matchup. I just like Tedford in this spot. Again, underdogs, he's been here. They didn't get it done in three straight matchups. I think they get it done here in this ballgame.
I like Boise in this position. Ripken, the kid, is he'll play next level. Need to be coached up on some things. But for whatever reason, when you put Boise in these games, they produce. They produce. In order to beat Boise, and San Diego State has done it, you have to control the clock. You have to run the football, and you have to make sure that when they get the ball, they need to score. You can't let them just run plays and have fun and do all of those stuff that they like to do. They have to feel the pressure of, oh, they score, we got to score. I don't know if Fresno, I don't know if Fresno State can do that. I like Boise here in this area.
Tough place to play in the environment and the weather tonight too for
Breaking
Fresno.
Breaking news! Yep. Breaking news!
7-7.
Drake up 7-0 on Iowa State.
Hey, before
Game
we
go plus 41.
Before we get off Mountain West, Fresno State's last 10 trips to Boise, 0-10.
Yeah, Heartbreak City too.
So, I mean, that history has to weigh on the minds of the Bulldogs.
You have to run the ball against Boise State. You have to. You got to possess the ball.
I'm rolling the dice with Rivers and the Crow. We'll see how that game plays out. It is a 7 o'clock kick.
7:45
kick. When we come back, we'll be talking about the huge AAC matchup between UCF and Memphis. Keep it where it is.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
St. Elmo's Fire? Is that what that is? I can't tell you who's saying it. St. Elmo's Fire, Gabe? Anything?
You know, what's the deal with all the 80s music? Who's up there? Is it Engel?
I think
some 80s metal or something.
I think Marshall is the baby of the bunch here at 45.
Oh, okay. Told my age. Everybody thought I was 35.
doesn't that make you feel a little younger? You're the youngest of all the four of us?
It's okay. It's fine.
I think Joe, I don't know.
I'm going to be 47.
Well, we're getting up there.
Yeah.
I'm by far the oldest man.
I'm 48, unfortunately.
You don't look a day over 46.
Appreciate that.
What are you going to say? You're looking at my gray hair?
No.
Make fun of my gray hair. You say I use Grecian formula.
If I had hair, it would be. I'd look like Anderson Cooper, I think, if I did.
Anderson Cooper. Quick update. Texas, Oklahoma. Texas up 7-0. Oklahoma on the Texas 22-yard line. Kyler Murray leading on a drive, and Iowa State has just scored to tie that ball game up.
Oh, thank goodness.
David Montgomery with a touchdown run.
Early scoring.
7-7.
Early scoring as well. App State up 7-3 midway through the first quarter of play.
That could be a track. You never know. We'll see how that game plays
actually,
out.
Actually, they got the ball at midfield. They're driving.
And transpires. I mean, when you look at this matchup in Orlando, AAC championship, both of these teams played when Mackenzie Milton.
This is a cool game.
I mean, 31-30 in the pouring rain. And they still, you know, Henderson rushed for 199 yards and two touchdowns in that ball game. I got to think that if you're Brady White and the crew, you have to feel very confident heading into this ballgame, even though UCF got the victory last week against Charlie Strong in South Florida. I mean, you lost by 1 point when Milton was in the lineup. You have to think you can have a chance to win this ballgame later today.
Yeah, I mean, you have a better chance than you did this time last week Mackenzie Milton. I'm going to be fascinated to see what do we get, not just from Daryl Mack, but from Josh Heupel, because this is new territory. First-year coach, but now he's got a first-time starting quarterback. Young kid from Norfolk, Virginia, has a lot of physical talent, but no experience. I'm all over UCF. I mean, I think this is going to be a win one for Mackenzie. Very emotional week. This was a kid that was just not an injury. That was an injury that could potentially affect his career, whether he plays again. Very emotional for UCF. I could see this defense pulling together and those running backs, Adrian Killens, Greg McCray. McCray's been playing very well. Big play, speedy running back. I have the utmost respect for Mike Norvell and that Memphis offense. So both teams will score. But at the end of the day, you know, we talk a lot about Fresno can't beat Boise and Boise. Memphis can't beat UCF and UCF. Yeah, I mean, the last six times they were in Orlando, Joe, 0-6 straight up, 0-6 against the spread. Love Darryl Henderson. I don't think the winning streak ends today for UCF.
The front seven impressed me last week against Houston, especially in the second half. Now, I know that they were going up against a third-string quarterback, but the way they shut down the run in the second half of that matchup leads me to believe they can make UCF sort of one-dimensional and force Mack into long third-down situations. I mean, this is a quarterback that's still completing around 50% of his passes. You have a chance, especially if you're Brady White, to jump up early.
Mack finally has a chance to prepare. I mean, I really can't put too much stock in his stats. Understood, especially
you drop a kid in mid-game. Something we're not talking about, too, is Mack's ability to run. We're talking about a big kid.
He's big. He's
6'3", 230, 240 type kid.
It's like Culpepper a little bit.
He averages 7 yards a carry. He's rushed for like 280 yards in his limited appearances. Hey, I think they're going to will themselves to victory. I know you don't say you hang your hat on UCF's defense, but I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think they'll let Mack run when stuff breaks down. I think he'll be able to extend it and it sticks. And they got some decent running backs, actually, UCF here. They got a 24-game win streak. It's not just about Milton. I think they win this game, and then the Cinderella, the clock strikes midnight in their big-time bowl game, and they lose the bowl.
How important is it when you never beat a team in like 10 tries to break through finally? I mean, what do you have to do from a mindset perspective?
Actually, you have to go out and play your game. Like not play against them, but play your game, because you can get caught up in the playing against them and ride the emotional roller coaster. But I look at this game and I just feel like for a young head coach in Josh Heupel, a guy that understands what managing the football game is all about. And I was reading like his comments when he talked about Mack. He said the kid really handled every situation. He managed the clock. He managed the plays. He made the plays that we expected him to make. And when a coach talks about a quarterback like that, that means more is about to be put on his plate.
Yeah.
He's going to have more of the offense. I would not be surprised if Mack has a game that just blows you away.
And how much does it help Marshall that Heupel is a quarterback?
That's what I'm saying.
A lot
that's
of times, okay, you got a new quarterback, you got a defensive guy. Like, all right, kid, do your best out there. Heupel knows what Mack is going
through. Exactly.
He can walk him through. Son, just take it easy here. I just need you to do this. Being a quarterback, doesn't that help Marshall?
It helps, and that's why I'm saying this. Heupel will walk him through. These are going to be your emotions. This is how you're going to feel. If the ball starts sailing high, if you're throwing the ball high, this is the problem. You're throwing the ball low, this is the problem. He's going to watch him in warm-ups. He's going to be ready to play. And let's just say, if Memphis comes out and says, we're stopping the run, Mack, you have to beat us. I think he can. I believe he's going to have a huge game to where Heupel is like
quarterback of the future.
Yes.
Here in Orlando.
Let's not underestimate.
That's why I like the over.
Let's not underestimate, guys, how difficult it is to play in this stadium as well. I watch college football every week. I'm watching a million games, you know, on Saturdays.
It's loud.
That stadium, they're insane. Yeah. First off, the state of Florida is like for crazy people, right? Secondly, people don't realize.
Statement.
People don't realize.
You do like, know most of the people in Florida are from New York.
That's, I can live with that. Yeah, I can live with that. Well, people in New York are crazy as well.
Okay.
I'm going to take you out to the FanDuel Sportsbook sometime, Marshall. Yeah. You want to see crazy. It's like Central Booking over there, bro. It's like Central Booking. You don't think of UCF as like a traditional football power. Their school is huge, Rich. You would know.
Like,
they're
alumni.
They have the most alumni out of anyone, right?
Yeah.
So their school's massive. They love football. In Florida, they're crazy. You get that real party. Like, people talk about Arizona State partying and stuff. It's a mix between hot chicks drinking and hot chicks and, like, Raider fan nut jobs, and they're black. And I'm telling you, that is a vapid building to go into and try to play in. It's a freaking madhouse zoo. It's a tough place to play.
Well, think about the emotion, too. Think about the emotional roller coaster that program went through. Losing Milton last week, now preparing for, you know, another AAC title potentially, protecting that winning streak, protecting that perfect season, maybe be a borderline playoff team, even though none of us think it's going to happen. I think the emotion in that stadium is going to be just off the charts.
For their 25th.
Gabe, you said it well. Willing this team to victory. Now, they have talent. But I think that ability to will them to one more victory, I think they get out of there with a win. I would be surprised if Memphis pulls the
over, though, too.
And watch, when you lose a player like Milton and you got a quarterback step in, everybody elevates.
Everybody else elevates.
Defense going to play better.
Yep.
Offensive line, they understand we got to run the ball. We got to make sure we keep him in manageable down and distance on third
These
down.
These guys don't want it. They don't want their boys saying, you guys couldn't win without Milton. Yeah. They want to do it on their own.
Yes.
They want to show you what kind of team they are. Okay, Milton's our quarterback. Let me show you what kind of team we are. We lose our quarterback. We get our backup in, and we can still beat you.
Yep.
So I just want to get this straight. You're on UCF.
I do. I like UCF.
On UCF.
I'm going UCF.
UCF.
What color jacket?
Memphis blue. I'm going to call that.
Memphis blue. I'm going with Darrell Henderson.
Settle down, Elvis.
I'm wearing blue suede. I think that when you look at that matchup, I think that game was very telling for me in terms of the physicality that they played with last week, not just UCF, because they did. They played Charlie Strong, outcoached himself right in that second half of that matchup when they were down 24-10, had an opportunity to go for it at midfield. He punts, turned the whole game around. That being said, I watched this team in terms of wear down Ed Oliver in that front seven. They showed me something.
I'll tell you something. This is one of the overlooked aspects of small college football. Look historically over the past decade. Memphis does offensive line play about as well as anyone amongst the group of five.
Did you see
that? Year after year after year, coaching staff after coaching staff, they always block well, particularly in run blocking, and they're doing it for Darrell Henderson this year.
They're averaging 279 rushing yards per game against a defensive front seven in UCF that's given up 205.
Yeah.
So they have this significant advantage. And then I look at that front seven and I say, okay, they're only giving up 150 per game there. But they have some defensive ends that can crash down, especially in the read option. So, again,
It's a fun game.
Whoever can dictate the tempo early, I'm curious to see.
A lot of good storylines.
I think it'll be high scoring.
Oklahoma blinked. They kicked the field goal.
Wow. That's a win for the Texas defense.
But you do that if you're Oklahoma, I think, because of the better offense, a better quarterback play.
They have first and goal at, like, the 3.
Credit that Texas defense. They've been coming on.
Listen, Texas also has a really good secondary. Chris Boyd,
they just make more plays. They make more plays than the Oklahoma defense does.
They force you to beat them. They're a defense that maybe they statistically they give up.
And who picked Texas to win the Big 12 in the preseason? I think that was Joe Lees.
I don't know.
I'll stop being superstitious.
I picked Michigan to win the Big Ten. I was wrong about that.
Well, you were close.
Yeah, okay. Just ride the wave.
Just
ride the wave.
Burnt orange. You should have been wearing burnt orange.
He also picked Illinois to win the Big Ten.
No.
Oh, stop.
Louisville upset Alabama in the opener.
I did. That was dead wrong about that one.
Yeah, but you know what, Joe? It's like reality.
Puma, if
you're
going to lose, he was horrible. All over.
You should transfer.
If you're going to lose, it's good to lose early. People forget.
People forget.
True.
People have short memories.
I mean, when you look at this Boise State just total, I mean, do you think? I mean, they played traditionally lower.
I'm thinking under.
24-17 was last game last year. I think.
You know what? I'll put it this way. I'll put it in this context. The Mountain West game between Boise State and Fresno State, I don't think it'll be 10-3. It'll be similar to the Utah-Washington game we saw last
night. That's a good – see, I'm
a good analogy there.
That's a football game that I want to watch.
It's going to be raining tonight. Not especially cold.
Favors Fresno or favors Boise?
We get to watch a big Mountain West game without having to stay up till 2 a.m.
Does rain affect I'm curious to know. Does rain affect – especially with the field turf, a slick track. We saw it with UCF.
Not as much, but the rain does affect the spread, the ball handling.
Right.
You got to be careful in the rain. I mean, it's just a lot going on, center, snap, a lot of the fancy handling of the football. There's a lot of quick tosses, quick throws that the quarterback got to make that you get a wet ball. It makes it a bit challenging
for the Colts and the Rams, two indoor teams. How difficult was that transition when you guys had to deal with weather being more of an indoor?
We practice outside.
Okay,
you prepare. Put it like when I was young, my first couple of years when I went to Indy, and I mean the coldest weather I played in was maybe at Laramie. Colorado
below?
State. No, I mean, it wasn't. No, during that time of the year, you know, football's over in November.
Yeah, it's a balmy 30.
So, yeah, you've been 30, 40 now.
But it was every other year, so you guys were hosting them on the Mesa.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, so it wasn't as bad. Now,
that's a great point, Marshall. College kids, you ain't playing in January.
No, you're not playing in December.
And if you were, you're playing in a bowl game in Florida.
Totally different. So I go to Indianapolis. And that's the old AFC East. So
going to Buffalo and stuff.
you get Buffalo, you get Pats. New York, you get the Patriots, and we're talking 20s. I mean, my first cold weather game, I came out in Buffalo. I was looking like the Michelin man. I had some of those. I was like, how do you guys play?
So it was
this
in your head before the game. Oh, my God. Another layer.
Are you kidding me? I'm from New Orleans. I went to San Diego State. Like, football is played in the warm.
Yeah.
Like
this.
That's like, funny.
I don't want to play in this
Michelin.
And his backup, Lamont Warren, who played at Buffalo, right, going, what are you talking about? We played this in September. It's a balmy 22 degrees.
I mean, these guys going out in half shirts with just their pants on. I'm looking at them like, are you kidding me? Like, how do you play in this weather like this?
So in the room, though, do people judge? Because, you know, the linemen, we're not wearing sleeves. So did anyone say, come on, Marshall, well, you got a man
eventually,
up, bro.
Eventually, they got me there.
They did.
Yeah,
dude,
eventually.
You got a lot of layers on.
Eventually, what happened was I had to start practicing in a wet shirt when we were going out in the cold. So you put a wet shirt on, you put your pads over it,
so you practice get used
that
to it.
Way.
So to get used to be uncomfortable, yes. Really.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, you got to get your body used to, and then a lot of cold tub.
Yeah, the cold
before
tub
practice, you get in the cold tub. After practice, you get in the cold tub.
See, people just
gotta
always
get your
imagine
body in that state.
Yeah.
We just imagine guys are like, they're not human, right? People don't really look at players as players.
Yeah.
They think that a guy, whatever, man, it sucks. Like when I walk in the rain, your socks get wet, your shoes, it sucks, right? It's no different if you're a football player. You're like, damn, I'm cold under here. You know?
Those first couple of hits, when it's cold, those first couple of hits.
Oh, that helmet and stuff. Oh,
Lord.
I got a suggestion for Gabe then to get ready for the cold weather. When you do the podcast at night, wear wet socks.
I get used to it.
The anger and rage show, and I'm wearing wet socks.
He's all fired up.
He hit a three. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm wearing wet socks now if Memphis doesn't cover this matchup.
Right. And Virginia Tech's trying to stand up. They're trying to get in this bowl game.
Uh-oh.
They up 10-0.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Marshall's early. I think Marshall will weather the storm a rope-a-dope. But the big game.
When Marshall was saying, you know, that he was into Marshall, I thought he was talking in the first person there for a while.
We didn't talk about the big game. Stanford-Cal. Stanford's won 8 straight over the Bears.
Yeah, that's a fun
Bears
game.
Bears were a gunny win against Colorado last week. They won that matchup by 12
battle
points.
Battle for no-Cal.
Yeah, Stanford did dominate UCLA. Higher scoring game, 49-42. I'm going with the better defense here. I still think Stanford one-dimensional. Bryce Love stepped up, 93 rushing yards. They're only averaging still 108 rushing yards per game. Give me Garbers. Give me Patrick Laird. They break the string tonight in Berkeley. I think it's 27-23 over Stanford.
I'd like to go in more details on the back end of this. I agree with you on Cal. Justin Wilcox, awesome job defensively. A lot of no-name kids. I think they finally break through after losing 8 straight against Stanford.
When we come back, we'll be breaking down the big game. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Marshall Faulk kicking it around from Studio 34.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back on College Football Today, the waning moments of our December the 1st conference championship game. But before we give our best bets for the day, I want to talk a little BetDSI. While conference championship games will be settling scores between old foes on the field today, you can get in on the action by heading on over to BetDSI, where you'll find a user-friendly web interface and mobile site with the fastest payouts in the industry. Open a BetDSI account right now and use the promo code FNTSY18, and you'll get 100% bonus match for those that are mathematically challenged. Joe is not one of those people. That's double your money to start winning today. Not only can you capitalize on today's college football action, but at BetDSI, you'll find wagering options for college basketball, NFL, NBA, NHL, UFC, tennis, boxing, soccer, cricket, and almost any sport you could think of. You could even wager on esports, politics, and reality TV. Get an edge and utilize live betting at BetDSI, where you can wager virtually anytime during a contest, capitalizing on in-game happenings and circumstances. Utilize your daily fantasy skills without the constraints of salary caps and wager on player props. There are so many ways to make money. BetDSI has been paying winners for 20 years. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. Use your sports knowledge and the information we're giving you right here on the show to make some money over at BetDSI. And don't forget to use the promo code FNTSY18 when signing up to get your 100% bonus match. But that's not all. Once you've opened up your account at BetDSI, go to DailyRoto.com, click on Contact Us, send us your BetDSI username, and we'll give 1 month of Daily Roto access totally free. That's access to all sports, tools, and optimizers. So head on over and open your account right now at BetDSI to win on so many levels. That's promo code FNTSY. You know, it's one thing to be more knowledgeable than your buddies, right? I mean, that's fun. But why not make money off of it?
Exactly.
That's the way I look at it. Head on over to BetDSI. Start taking all that knowledge that not only we're giving you, we give it to you, but you also have it. I mean, you have bragging rights, but bragging rights, let me tell you something, bragging rights is not going to get a gift for your wife this Christmas. Well,
bragging rights don't pay the bills.
Well, bragging rights is not going to get the Wells Fargo off your back.
You know? No. You can't go to Jared's and buy a diamond for somebody.
Yeah, you know, enough with the bragging rights. Yeah. Go make some
money. There'll be bragging rights in the big game later today between Stanford and Cal. I like Cal in this matchup.
I do, too.
I think it's 2.5, 3 points. I think they win the game outright. Better team. And I'm just not sold on Stanford this year under David Shaw.
Joe, it just means more. We talk about this a lot of times. And we've seen some big streaks fall this year, right? Kentucky finally beat Florida. We've seen some big streaks that have gone by the wayside.
We've also seen some other teams like just meant more to Michigan, just meant more to Virginia last week.
But it meant a lot to Ohio State. I mean, I can't. Stanford, I think, looks past Cal today. Gabe.
Cal are a trendy pick. Everyone in the gaming world likes Cal. Cal. I look at it like it's three and show me. If I lose, I lose. Cal beat them a couple of years in a row. I'm not buying. I find that these teams, they're sort of underachieved. I remember going back to week one, guys, and we were looking about Marshall, San Diego State slowed down Bryce Love in the first game. Remember? And we were like, well, maybe it's just because they did so much to shut him down. They had so many packages assigned to shut him down. But we've seen Stanford have had a hard time running the football a year after that, actually. But I find, look at the Washington Huskies, kind of a disappointing season. But we can end strong by beating Wazoo, our rival, and go to the Rose Bowl. I think Stanford can sort of save face. At least they can say, listen, we didn't have a great year, but we ain't losing to Cal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that bad of a year. We're not losing to Cal. You know, David Shaw, to me, is one of the best coaches in the country. He'll have his team ready to win this football game.
And that's what it comes down to. Yeah. Stanford will not lose to Cal. It's this battle for NorCal. I mean, I don't mean to call them, but it's this battle of the IQs. Yeah. My nerds are better than your nerds. It's like, that's what they're trying to say.
That belongs on a t-shirt, just, by the way.
Hey, who's sending more nerds to the NFL every year? Stanford.
There you go. This is one of those games that comes down to coaching. Coach Shaw will have his guys ready to play. And this is going to be one of those games for Bryce Love. You saw him start to take over the game. They are going to slow this game down. They're going to run the football. They're going to muddy it up and see if when Patrick Laird get the football, that he can make the plays.
Lisa, guys. I'm all fired up now. I don't want to bet Stanford. I'm going to the book.
I like Stanford in this game.
Sermonello and Lisa,
I love Cal now.
Yeah, it's me and Marshall against you two. Let's get it.
Let's get it. Well, quickly before we get into the discussion, I want to reel off our best bets for the day.
Yeah,
we got about 14 minutes left. I like Georgia plus the points. I think they lose a close scoring game against Alabama. I'm already on Marshall. I'm on the ECU. I like UAB. I think they have the better defense over Middle Tennessee State heading into this matchup. Texas is underway. Give me the points with Northwestern. I just think somehow, some way, Patty Fitz finds a way to keep this game close. I'm laying the big wood with Clemson. I think it's a one-dimensional offense. For Pittsburgh, I'll take the Tigers as they roll to a championship.
How great is it that Patty Fitz has a linebacker named Patty Fisher?
That's true.
Damn good linebacker.
And he reminds me a little of the way Fitz played.
Even more athletic than Fitzgerald, who was not that athletic. My best bets, I have my 2:12 o'clocks that have started. Texas looks good so far. NC State looks good as well. I think NC State's up, 10-0?
17.
17-0. They'll coast. That'll be hopefully two victories for me to start the day. And the rest of the day, I'll celebrate those early victories by rooting on Ohio State to roll over Northwestern. Too many athletes against Pat Fitzgerald and Patty Fisher. I like Boise State. I just think I'll probably sweat it out because this is going to be a close game, low scoring. But at home, they've owned Fresno State. I mentioned it. Fresno's last 10 trips to Boise, 0-10. I think it's 0-11. Clemson is going to annihilate.
Yes.
It's not even going to be competitive. I think this is like a 48-3 type game. It'll be over early. And then my best bet of the day, it's really not, but I just want to piss off Gabe. I love the Cal Golden Bears.
Yeah.
I love that. Let me just tell you guys why, okay? This is the reason why. Stanford traditionally, David Shaw, I love. Love him personally, love him professionally. Not having a great past couple of seasons. Stanford's brand used to be strong defense in a running game.
Yeah.
87th nationally defensively and 122nd running the ball. This is not the same Stanford team. Cal sees its first opportunity in almost a decade to win over Stanford. I like Cal. I think that watch that Cal defense. They shut down the better athletes of USC. They shut down the better athletes of Washington. I think they shut down the better athletes of Stanford.
And he made second half adjustments in that game against USC. Yeah. That's why I like Wilcox. I think he's
an up-and-comer.
I've talked myself into Stanford. It's a light day today. We're looking for some action. We're going to be watching these games all day. We're on Texas plus the points right now. They're hanging around. They're up 7-3 late in the first quarter of play. The total at 78 is dropping right now. The in-game's in the 74, 75 and a half range. We're buying in with UCF. Guys, I just don't want to overthink things. I got a team that's won 24 football games in a row, laying 3 points on their home field. I think they'll be motivated by the quarterback, like Marshall stated. I think Mac will be just fine, and I like the fact that Heupel is a quarterback. He'll have them ready. And I think they lose in a bowl game. That's when this little story will come to an end. Give me UCF. We didn't talk a lot about Alabama here enough today, I don't think, but once again, guys, they're doing something that hasn't been done since 1888. Not 1988, 1888. And Yale, they're going to win this game. I don't know if they win by 20. I think they're going to want to win by 20 to keep this streak going. I think they can win by 17 or so. I could see Georgia hanging around, but ultimately, as the game progresses, Alabama is going to pull away. Northwestern, Ohio State, I think there's going to be points put up on the board in this game. Give me the over 61.5. I added Stanford to the rotation here as well. I'm going to play the Stanford Cardinal.
Rich, he's against
you. We're trying to battle it out on Twitter later tonight.
That's a direct against Rich.
It's us too, because I like Stanford here.
I'll jump up Boise later tonight too. Let's get it.
There's some synergy here. I like Stanford.
I understand what you're saying with Cal, and yes, Stanford. They will get back to smash mouth football in this game. They're going to see with Cal how physical of a game do you want to play. This is like Bryce Love's swan song. You got to send the guy out, and I look for a big game for him in this game. I like Stanford in this game, and I think it's going to be a lower scoring game because they're going to try to slow down the tempo and control the clock. I'm going with Boise. It's just a tough place to play. I mean, I couldn't even imagine playing on blue turf. It's just different. And I even like the under in that game because just weather, Boise might be one of those type of games. I like Northwestern. I think they're going to cover. I feel like they're going to do exactly like I said, slow the game down, play zone, find out if the young quarterback, can you throw the ball into windows? Can you make the anticipatory throws? Can you do that? Clemson rolls, and I mean they roll. They are going to roll. They are on a mission just in case. And I wonder this. Let's say the Alabama-Georgia game is close. Do Clemson leapfrog Alabama?
I'd say no.
I'm just saying. Let's say it's close.
I would say no because you have more of a 1-4 type of scenario.
Yeah.
Where the parity within the ACC has been Clemson and everyone else. Mm. I mean, there's been not one team that you could say outside of Clemson that could even possibly challenge from a physicality perspective. Yeah. NC State, they dominated. Florida State, they dominated. Who's left?
But I'm just saying, technically, you got a one-loss Georgia team.
Yep.
If this game is close, let's say, right, you know, Kirby does his thing and they play a close game, or better yet, it's Georgia dominating and Alabama comes from behind.
Yeah, yeah.
What happens then?
I still.
You know who's got a case of the shakes when Marshall says that?
What?
Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Who's the tougher opponent? Notre Dame or Oklahoma?
Not want to see Alabama at number two because
let's say you're Clemson. It's hypothetical. You're Clemson. You go up to number one. Suddenly, you're playing Oklahoma. Would you rather play Oklahoma or Notre Dame?
I think
who's a more dangerous team?
I don't think Clemson.
Oklahoma's probably more dangerous.
I think Clemson, though.
Because of the Murray factor.
Here's the thing about Clemson. Clemson, to me, when I look at Clemson, how they're built similarly to Alabama, this is a great road team. I mean, if there's one team that does not fear anyone, I think it's Clemson. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with Alabama for the most part, two games. They won one national championship. Last year, they had some quarterback issues. But defensively, that defense held Alabama's offense in check. It was Alabama's defense that made turnovers against Kelly Bryant that really turned the tide. So
there are two teams. Clemson and Alabama are the only two teams that I've watched. When you spread them out, they're capable of stopping your run game with five or six guys in the box.
Because of their front seven.
If they have five guys, if you spread them out, the front, the four down linemen and one linebacker, or if you move a guy in, four down linemen and two linebackers, they can stop your run game. They don't have to compromise anything on the back end. And when you can do that,
When you can control the line of scrimmage with five or six guys or seven guys and you never have to get a guy in, now you can play coverage. Right. You take away the element of big plays. You make teams slowly work the ball down the field. And once the ball start going sideways against these two defenses, Alabama and Clemson, you're done.
It's over.
You're done.
Too much
hitches,
speed.
You're
hitches
done. And slants. You cannot run
you're done.
Hitches and slants against that
and defense. That's what they want you to run.
Exactly. That's what Clemson did in the playoff game, because when you run sideline to sideline against a front seven, that's their strength. You have to neutralize their strength. You have to attack vertically. You might not complete passes, but you have to loosen them up. Get those linebackers off. But the reason why they're so dominant, and tell me if I'm wrong, Marshall, is that they have defensive tackles that clog running lanes.
Yeah.
And when they force double teams, that's why teams can't run.
You have
on them.
To. Both of their defensive lines, it's impossible to run a man-to-man scheme. And if you try to zone block it, they're going to crease you, and they're in your backfield before the quarterback hands the ball to the running back. in the zone read, which is you can't have penetration, and that's all they do is penetrate.
It's unbelievable. Quick scores: Virginia Tech up 17-6.
Drake. Oh man,
Drake's Cakes plus the 41.
Drake's Cakes.
They're up. They're tied 14 apiece.
Hang around.
And the one thing I've watched just on the computer here, haven't watched actually the game, just watching drives. Texas is forcing Kyler Murray and that offense to work down the field, and if they could do that, they're going to be
what a feather in the cap for Todd Orlando.
Yeah,
if he's the coach who slows down Kyler Murray, who has looked
for real,
unstoppable.
If Oklahoma kick another field goal here,
and listen,
it's like 3rd and 6 on Texas 10.
If Texas pulls this off, then we start looking at that Ohio State-Northwestern game so much differently. Because now
Texas has the personnel, too, outside.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, because if you guys are right and Northwestern hangs with Ohio State and actually pulls the upset, which I could see a Pat Fitzgerald team doing, then who makes that fourth spot in the playoffs?
That's my question. That's the million-dollar question.
The computer will tell us.
I mean, you're going to hear. I mean, it all depends upon, because honestly, to me, if you're asking me, I put UCF in.
Eventually,
I think at that point.
If Armageddon happens, you need to put those guys in.
Is that even Armageddon? That's two things happening.
Yeah.
That's two. Really three, you need Alabama, but we expect Alabama to beat Georgia. Because Georgia has to have that second loss. You really need two things to happen. You need Oklahoma and Ohio State to lose, and then UCF is going to be able to make its case for what that's worth.
And if let's just say it happens and UCF doesn't get in, a team from a big power five school, they're not getting in ever.
Right.
If they can't get in,
right.
if those two things happen and they can't get in, it's never happening.
Yeah, I think it sends a bad signal.
So it says. Yeah. The system is beyond flawed.
Right.
And look, we're already here almost. You have a team that's on the verge of not losing for two straight years.
Yeah.
Yes, without having a crack.
I mean, so what's the point? Oh, we won 40 in a row. Now notice us, right? At what point? They didn't play anybody, though. It's true.
I mean, I know. It's hard to make the case. No,
they played some bodies.
Yeah.
Those somebodies were on their schedule.
Mm. Yeah.
The question
is true.
Here's the question.
And those schedules are made years in advance, so it's not like they're ducking people.
So what's coming up is who wants to play UCF now?
Nobody.
Like if you're in the SEC, are you taking that game?
No, SEC would never.
I'm just saying. Are you in the ACC? Right. Are you taking that game?
No.
Because you don't want to legitimize what they are doing.
It's a no-win situation.
If they beat you, then, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I go back to this. It's why Miami stopped playing BYU.
Yeah.
Miami took their undefeated. Oh, we just won a national. They went out to BYU and got smashed. It was never playing them again.
Going up to Provo again. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we play USC. We tied them. We don't want to play San Diego State again.
No-win situation was Auburn against UCF last year, and look what happened.
For Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Marshall Falk, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next Saturday.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only